and welcome. GameSpot presents the Hotspot for Tuesday, May 4th, 2010. I am your host, Brendan Sinclair, back after an unfortunate week and food poisoning, which was awful. You ever had food poisoning, Tom McShay?
No, but I ate the same restaurant as you. I ordered the non-spoiled food.
Yeah, I should have been more specific.
I know. If you're a member of Fight Club, I'm not supposed to say this out loud, but they don't poison your food. So,
Sean McInnes?
Tom just broke rule number one of Fight Club, which is you order the poison food.
If you're tough.
Yeah, and then rule two is like you don't talk about it or something. But yeah. Rule one is order the poison food because you have to be tough to be a member of the Fight Club.
Bottom line, Tom McShay, not tough.
Tom McShay, not tough. I could have told you that.
You just did.
Yeah. Well, I could have earlier prior to that.
How about you, Kevin Van Ord?
I don't live by any of these arbitrary food rules.
No?
No.
So you was out like and say, please give me the non-spoiled food?
No, I'll just take anything you give me as long as it doesn't have olives or coconut in it.
What about my olive cookie daisy dandies?
Olive macaroons?
Olive macaroons, yeah.
Is that what you were reaching for?
That's kind of what I was picturing.
Okay, now those were delicious.
I usually call those cookie daisies. I didn't know.
Daisy dandies?
They were almost as good as the sausage chocolate chip cookies you brought in that one day.
That's vile.
But they make them.
Can we talk about games?
Of all the people to try and get us back on track.
It's
Let's
me.
Keep talking about intense stomach illness for like maybe an hour and a half, I think. There's a lot of potential there.
Okay, so you want to talk about games. Halo Reach had... What, Tom? Do you not want to talk about Halo Reach?
I don't like how... I don't want to say it out loud because this could be an outtake then. There's a certain word that would go after Reach, and every time it's said, it's just immediately...
Huh.
There's a certain word.
Okay.
It's funny because I hadn't heard the joke, and I completely got it.
For the stars. Halo Reach for the stars.
There you
go. That's what it is.
It's that certain word.
So Halo Reach went into open beta today, but you guys were in the friends and family beta.
We were in the friends and family beta, which means we got to play a whole 3 days ahead. Ooh.
Yeah, we also had to help Bungie move.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So
we had
worth it.
Yeah. I know.
They did a lot of things like, no, we don't need boxes. Just take armfuls of clothes. It's like, what?
Oh, that's what we had to do to be considered friends with Bungie.
Yes.
That's the way Bungie works.
We had to babysit their cat for like a weekend.
That cat needed like 24-hour a day attention.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Weird. And we have to
The transition was we were going to start talking about games.
Well, I'm just saying, we're now friends with Bungie, and that means that we're able to play the friends and family beta. We could have gone the family route, but that meant Bungie has like a sick grandmother in the nursing home. And...
Okay, there you go. You made me cut your mic.
I'm still talking.
No one on this show, aside from Kevin Van Ord, has ever made me cut their mic. You, Sean McInnes, have done it.
Yeah, but I've done it multiple times.
So... The friends and family, I'm going to set the bar pretty high here by bringing in some outside impressions, and just, you guys are really going to have to raise your game to get to that.
All right, hit us.
Phil Kohler, a friend of the show, or at least a friend of the friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show.
He's a friend of the show.
Is he a friend of Bungie, though? Because what
because he was in the friends and family beta, and he tweeted his first impressions, which were basically in his first lobby for his first match. People were yelling white power.
Yeah, I should I name drop? Is that okay? Well, I was playing with another former 1UP person who was not Nick Sutner, and he thought it was funny to imitate that as well. He was very vulgar. You guys can guess who it is.
I know who it is.
You can't guess because you know.
He was probably drunk.
Jeez.
And this is who Bungie considers friends, or right. This is Bungie's family.
Well, no, it's because they had, like, beta key giveaways. And those who are the people who got into it, and they kind of, like, dirtied
up. Oh, sure they are.
The commoners, not the friends of Bungie, like me and Tom.
Right. It's not the friends and family of Bungie that are setting the horrible, racist, homophobic tone of Halo Online for everyone else.
The commoners.
Have we even talked about this game yet?
Oh, yeah, Halo. It's fun, isn't it?
So it's a sci-fi first-person shooter.
Oh my god.
So I guess, okay, here's the biggest difference so far. It's just the two multiplayer maps with a bunch of different modes. But the biggest difference is you can choose your loadout beforehand.
Yes.
There's four different classes. And one of them is defense. You get into like a defensive crouch and you're invincible. One lets you sprint. One is a jetpack. And one is invisibility, active camouflage.
Right. It's not class in the sense that Battlefield Bad Company 2 has classes where it affects, you know, like the items you carry and the guns that you wield. It's a, all that really does is that there's a special ability mapped to the left bumper, and you have a finite amount of usage on it before it has to recharge, and that's what your loadout dictates. So you have, with the airborne loadout, you can have a jetpack and you fly around, and that but that only lasts like 10 seconds.
Are you really going to re-explain the four things I just said? People know what sprint means. They don't need it. They don't need it again.
Well, you glossed
but
over.
But we should talk about how awesome jetpack is.
The jetpack is my favorite loadout by
Holy
far.
Geez.
So, I mean, Halo has always had the kind of like bouncy physics and the really high jumping anyways. So jetpacks, you kind of have to. I was explaining this to Tom last night. Once you finally get in the jetpack, you're like, oh my god. Why hasn't this been in Halo from the start?
It seems
this
so obvious.
Awesome. Yeah. Jetpacks are rad.
So what's your favorite jetpack attack?
My favorite jetpack attack is I'm up in the air. I've got a big old energy hammer. I cut the jetpack so I start tumbling down below. And as I'm like 10 feet above a guy, I swing the energy hammer and just like blast him out of existence so that I'm using both gravity and the energy hammer combined into a super mega death attack.
Do you want to know my favorite, awesome. Though?
What's yours?
It's when some other dude is using a jetpack, and I use mine to rocket up underneath him, and I do some rapid-fire wing shooting, where the gravity is also a factor.
You shoot him from below up right into the gooch?
Right into the gooch.
Yeah.
You're a delightful human being.
Oh, Halo's great.
you look at the game, and Bungie clearly took a "if it's broke, don't fix it" approach because Halo 3.
Wait, what?
Wait.
If it's broke, don't fix it. Yeah. Yes. That's what they say.
There's another game that Kevin and I were just playing that took that approach. Actually,
we can't talk about that game.
Not yet.
So Halo 3 was broke.
No. Sorry.
If it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
There we go.
Right. I'm bad with expressions and things.
Words.
I mean, it feels like Halo, and that's a good thing because Halo is like among the best online multiplayer action that you can get. The thing that I'm disappointed with is that neither of the two maps available right now have vehicles in them.
I know. It's going to take like a couple days, maybe a week, and then they're going to throw in a third map with the vehicles.
They've got another map coming for the beta that will have vehicles in it. I'm looking forward to that one. Right now, the two maps on offer are kind of on the small side, and you can only get like 4v4 matches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to like the big open.
Yeah, match. But there's a great new match type. Is it called SWAT? And it's like you're in this office building. One of the two levels is like an office building with ramps and like five different stories. And you have sprints by default, like that's the only thing you can have, and then battle rifles and one shot headshot kills. And it is, and there's no radar, so it's super tense. You got to stay together, and then like hitting someone across the level with the...
It's like Halo Rainbow Six.
Ah, it is really fun.
The other cool mode that I don't think Tom has played yet, it's a free-for-all mode called Headhunter. And basically, every time... When you kill a guy, like a skull pops out, one of those flaming skulls from Oddball. One of those skulls pops out, and you carry it with you. And for every kill that you get before dying, you collect those skulls. But at the same time, every time you kill that guy, you also get all the skulls that he was carrying from his own kills, and it's just like this big chain, so that you could theoretically just have like a dozen skulls at once, and you randomly go and you shoot a guy, and like skulls erupt everywhere. And the whole gist of it is that you need to run and take them to the goal before you get killed and drop them all, and you can score one at a time, or you can score like 15 at a time, and it's just super tense when you know that you're like, you're so close, but a guy shoots you in the back, and you lose like a dozen opportunities
and there's
to score.
There's no downside to having more skulls. It's not like they weigh you down.
No. And it's, you know, it's one of those cool like mutations of, you know, basic gameplay mode that Halo has always been known for.
So is there anything actually innovative in this, or did they just kind of pick the best ideas from previous first person shooters?
I'm sorry, Brendan. I didn't realize you thought that jetpack sucked.
It's not necessarily innovative tribes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as innovative. I mean, most of the innovation in Halo 3 was at this, like, here's a theater, here's Forge, like all this other stuff. I'm expecting more.
Here's a man cannon.
There are...
The man hog.
There is a persistent element to it. You unlock credits for when you do well in a game, you get, you know, you get credits for scoring points, you get credits for victory bonus, all that thing. And you can purchase new armor upgrades for yourself. It's kind of, I'm not really into it because it's purely cosmetic. You just look different, and it's a way to sort of distinguish right. yourself from all the other Spartans on the field. And that combined with like custom colors and custom emblems, it's it goes a little bit farther to add a little bit of personality.
I'm glad they didn't do the Battlefield Modern Warfare like perks stuff though. Like I want to be on the on a level playing field as everyone else. I don't want that guy to have a better gun than me. So I'm glad it's just this is still just Halo. That's what I want. I'm pleased. September can't come here soon enough.
Tom is excited. Also, I'm happy that the game looks noticeably better than Halo 3. That game took some flack because it didn't seem up to par with a lot of other Xbox 360 games when it first came out. And Halo 3 looks is or Halo Recon Recon Reach. I got the name right on the third try. It's a really nice looking game.
Looking over your shoulder, and I didn't play a whole ton of. I played through the campaign in 3 mm-hmm. and a little bit in ODST, and that was it. But looking over your shoulder, it looked pretty much the same to me, but with motion blur.
Nope. It's a lot more high res.
The textures obviously look a little more, you know, what they should
nope.
be. But that game doesn't look as good as others, clearly.
It doesn't look like a Killzone 2, but it looks noticeably better than Halo 3. And ODST,
which was not really that a great looking game.
Man, you are such a hater.
I'm not. See, I want to set the record straight because I'm not a Halo hater. I really like Halo. I just find it to be a really really fun and derivative sci-fi shooter.
Derivative of itself? Is that what just happened?
This is coming from a person who's never played a PC game in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's my point. Yes, yes.
Really? You couldn't even, like, bust out Minesweeper or something?
I'm not going to argue Halo's as innovative as, like, Perfect Dark, but you know.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean Halo does have its innovation.
It's set the standard by which all other console FPSs have been ripping off for a decade. Like, that's pretty important.
I've got an idea. How about we don't have this conversation
yeah.
right now?
Just Move cut that out. Just actually cut that out.
There you
Edit
go.
It out.
Yeah.
What is that, Shake?
You're just editing out an entire point of view because it's not convenient for you?
That was the joke.
You know, if you keep this up, McShay, when it comes time for Perfect Dark's release to be talked about in 10 years ago this week, we are just going to skip over it.
You're not going to do that?
No. I'm surprised you want us to talk about it. To say, like, hey, 10 years ago this week, Perfect Dark was relevant.
It was also relevant now.
No.
Yes.
Okay. We'll talk about something that you would prefer to talk about right now. 3D Dot Game Heroes.
I like this game. It's yeah. it's like the Zelda 2 that never existed because it's
But Zelda 2 did exist. The
it's
Adventures
like
of Link.
The Zelda 2 that never existed. Like this because that game is weird and dumb and I didn't like it. But this one is like right between the original Zelda and Link to the Past and it fits in like with the complexity you'd expect in between those two. So there's towns, but it's not quite as in-depth as Link to the Past. But there's an overworld we get lost in, so it's kind of directionless. Like the first game, it's great. I'm a big fan of it.
So it's a... is it a ripoff?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it an homage?
We'll say homage because homage means that I liked it.
Yeah.
That's it. But yeah, I mean, it's basically... It's crazy how much they ripped off. Like, you know, you knife an enemy and he busts in the bats and you have to just kill the bats. Like, it's like everything you'd expect from the first Zelda is in this.
And you're walking on a perfect grid.
Yeah, it is a grid. The screen does scroll slightly. It still has that like shifting grid type movement. So, but it's
not really crazy how much they ripped it off because that is their exact aim. And
oh yeah,
they didn't really make any bones about that fact. This game is very clearly a Zelda ripoff.
Yeah.
So how is it like?
Well, it's just like I didn't realize how much they ripped off. I mean, which is a good thing. But afterwards, as I was craving more Zelda, I downloaded the Virtual Console version of the original, and then I was like reminded, it's like, oh my god, they totally ripped it off, and it's great for it. The original Zelda still like the greatest Zelda though. I'll throw that out there.
Is that the first thing you've bought from WiiWare?
It is the first thing.
Oh wow!
And I was so giddy. I'm on the second quest now. That game's hard.
Nah.
So, yeah, I guess get 3D.GameHero if you missed the old Zelda when they didn't have stupid boats and trains and stuff, because this is better than those.
$40?
$40 cash.
PS3 exclusive?
Yep.
Here's the other thing, though. My question. When a game is 25 years old, is it still considered ripping it off?
See, that's the because there's nothing. There hasn't been anything like the original Zelda in forever. Because
all the other Zeldas,
all subsequent Zeldas have ripped off Link to the Past, like the newer ones. But the original one is all about like being lost in this world with no direction.
There's a lot more hand holding in Link to the Past and everyone since.
Yeah, so it's like everyone's like, oh, Twilight Princess is just Ocarina. It's like, no, Twilight Princess is just Link to the Past. Like these, it's the same formula as Link to the Past. Like this. Like, the original and 3-Dot Game Heroes don't have that formula of go into a dungeon, get a new item, and use that item on boss.
Right.
It's just use your sword. And that's what the original Zelda was, too. It's like, use your sword, or Dogano, you use the bombs. And it's interesting in that regard, because it's more skillful from the combat perspective, because there's no easy way out. And nothing feels gimmicky or, like, forced in there. Like, Twilight Princess had, like, that round thing you rode around on spiked walls. And you had to fight a boss like that? It was kind of a weird thing they came up with. It's a great game. I really like Twilight Princess. And I know you're shaking your head.
I am. Because it's not a good game.
It is. I really like Twilight Princess. But yeah, this doesn't have any of that stuff to fall back on. So I really enjoy the formula of the original.
So are you going to be crushed when the new Zelda for Wii comes out?
I'm actually super pumped. It's like, you know that episode where Homer goes to the all-you-can-eat fish place and is kicked out and he still wants to eat fish and he goes fishing? That's me right now, because I played through 3-Dot Game Heroes twice, and now I'm playing through both quests in the first Zelda. I think I'm going to go to Ocarina after this. I just want more Zelda.
Tom has a Simpsons reference for every occasion.
Yeah, this one's perfect, though. I need to go fishing.
I'd say he was fishing for a reference.
No, it was good.
Hey-o!
Damn, you got me there.
I did.
No, I'm excited for the new Zelda now.
That makes one person in this room.
When they like hit a home run with Zelda, it's like the best game ever. That's not bad. And even when they don't hit a home run like Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, they're still really good.
So just in case there's any misconceptions about it, 3-Dot Game Heroes has a, since it's all done in kind of Lego blocky 3D style, it lets you create your own hero, right?
Yes.
But that's it?
Yeah, I wish you could create others. I want to create a labyrinth and then share it with people who made better labyrinths.
So I saw Sean helping you create a hero. Mm-hmm. Did you play through the entire game with that monstrosity?
He wasn't a monstrosity. He was just like a dude who was not wearing much clothes and looked like he was attacking with his wing. Not a monstrosity. But I played through about half the game with him.
Wait, did you use the Lizard King?
No, you didn't make enough frames of animation for me to use him. You kind of skimped out there.
The first character I made was this guy who had like, I don't even know how, it was this guy who had like big bulbous eyeballs and weird like L-shaped arms and like kind of like duck feet kind of, and he moved around, and the only way you could really tell what he was moving is that his arms would like flap up and down in like alternating L-shaped patterns, and when he swung his sword his eyes would grow like four times as big, but it didn't look like he was swinging his sword.
No, because
it looked like something a lot more,
the sword gets thrust out from the midsection.
Yeah,
so it looked a little vulgar,
and you made his sword flesh colored
maybe.
And so it looked like something altogether different. And then I made another character for you, which was a Lizard King with a jetpack
and a crown,
who I think was my opus, and you didn't even use it.
Well, you have to make like six different like
have time for that. It was a hurried opus.
See, the thing is, we shouldn't let Sean play games. You should describe how you're playing Skate 3 right now.
That's for next week.
That's the right way to play that game.
It's very painful to watch Sean play certain games.
Just because I made a character who's morbidly obese, wears very little clothing, and has a panda bear tramp stamp. Really, that's not anywhere out of the ordinary. Brendan would make that character. Tom would make that character.
So you're not going to quote the video review comments for 3-Dot Game Hero?
Oh, I didn't even look through them.
Oh, man. Oh, I'll quote one of them. Can I quote one of them?
Yes, you can quote one of them.
One guy says, do I have to say who said it?
Yes.
Nope.
Gamer999000. There might be. Yeah, that's what it says. This guy again. First it was God of War 3 and Dante's Inferno, and now Zelda. LOL, this dude hates games.
And now Zelda?
Yeah, it's not even Zelda. It's 3-Dot Game Heroes. I don't understand why someone would call me out for hating games when I really like God of War and 3D Game Heroes. That was a really weird comment. I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that.
What score did 3D Game Heroes get?
7.5. God of War got a 9.
Okay. God of War, fair point. 7.5, that's a good game.
That's a good game.
It's a very good game.
It's not a great game.
No, it's a very good game. It's really fun. I don't know. I don't know where he thinks I don't like it.
So if we still broke it down by, like, graphics, sound, whatever, and had the reviewer's tilt option, would your reviewer's tilt have been a 10?
Yeah. Well, it's based off of one of my favorite games ever that nothing exists like it anymore. So, yeah, I had a blast. I played through it twice. I didn't have to do that.
So, because it's kind of positioned as an homage, that's mm-hmm. why it's cool, instead of just being a retread.
Sure, but it's
so
also...
So, if Koei had Dynasty Warriors 28, and they're like, this is an homage to the first one.
You have to homage something... You have to homage something good? It's weird, because at some point, Sean and I were discussing, like, why I consider this an homage, and I like this, and then I was down on Dante's Inferno, because that soured me. And Sean's hypothesis was that I like God of War more than Zelda, which was faulty.
But that's not because I actually like the case.
Because Zelda, Link to the Past, and Ocarina are like three of my all-time favorite games, and I probably like them all more than God of War 2.
Well, I think the timeliness of it, too, the fact that this is imitating a 25-year-old game instead of a, whatever, 4-year-old game, 5-year-old game.
But it's also imitating a 23-year-old game well, as opposed to imitating the original God of War 2004. A 6-year-old game poorly. Like, that's
the difference. That's the whole point of this argument, is that you feel that the quality disparity, or the reason for the quality disparity, has to do with the timeliness. That's my theory.
Okay. I don't agree with that. I like rip-offs that are good. I like Ninja Blade a lot, and that's as derivative as it gets. And it rips off God of War. Well, I don't know. It was just weird when you accused me of liking God of War more than Zelda, because it probably ultimately isn't the case.
Keeping things weird, Kevin, you liked Nier more than Zelda, didn't you?
Oh my god! No!
Oh.
I'm not insane?
So you reviewed Nier on the PS3 and the Xbox 360 last week.
No. Well, it goes up. By the time you hear this, it'll be up on the site.
Okay. You but played it's this week. Them.
Last yes, week. I finished Friday night.
I watched some of this over your shoulder, and I got to the part where it looked like it was a really gripping, emotional cutscene in which two books were talking.
Fight.
And by talking, I mean floating in the air with no real animation as voiceover.
What do you mean there was no real animation? They flapped like crazy.
They flapped some pages, but the faces on the books did not, like, move their mouths or anything.
They're books. What land do you live in where your talking books have animated faces?
Clearly, my bad. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, you know, this does not seem...
It's kind of a laughable scene.
This does not seem like the right kind of quality.
No, it's kind of a laughable scene. That's a moment where you're laughing at Nier, not with it.
How many times are you laughing with Nier during the game, Kevin?
Every so often.
It seems like you were yelling at Nier a lot.
Not really. I mean, Grimoire of Ice is the talking book, the good talking book with the heart, the heart of gold and a British accent that you're talking about. He actually has a few moments where you'll giggle a little bit. But Nier's biggest problem is just so boring. Oh my god. Like, I love RPGs. I love action games. I love this. This game takes stuff from all sorts of genres. All genres that I like. But, man, is this the worst-paced game? This is like, Tom and I were discussing this. I think that this is the worst-paced game since Too Human, which is a really awfully paced game. But this game, just long, long stretches of nothing at all. And it just, and fetch quests, and, oh, my God. Don't even get me started.
Tedium.
It's just boring. Like, in the combat's so super easy that, you know, you get all these, like, tricks that you could use, but why use them if you can just mash, you know, the X button till the end of time?
So the character design of the game struck me as, like, a parody of Square Enix Final Fantasy character design, but it's a Square Enix game.
Well, I don't know. Like, the main character is probably one of the worst-looking character models I've seen in a long, long time.
It's Meth Head Cloud, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He's got this weird triangular face and a constant scowl and terrible Bruce Valanche hair.
There's not enough detail in there, but you imagine that his teeth are falling right out of his head.
Yeah, he's not a good-looking guy or an interesting guy or a mysterious guy or, you know.
Man, I'm really glad you reviewed this game.
Yeah, it was almost you.
I was going to do it, and then a better game came along, and Justin didn't punish me.
So, you know,
it looked so boring.
And then, well, the thing is, I was looking forward to this. This could be neat. You know, it's an action RPG with like Devil May Cry combat and
sold.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really cool, but it's just artistically
that's
bland,
the biggest problem, isn't
and
it?
It has. I mean, it's not interesting to look at.
But like, if this looked good, wouldn't you be all over it? Even you'd like forgive it some of it.
If
but
it looked good, at least there'd be eye candy to kind of help you through the long stretches of nothing.
And it goes to that weird top-down view sometimes. And it's,
I don't mind. Like it does these little camera tricks that some of them are kind of clever. Like when you walk into your house and stuff, and the camera zips around to the side, and suddenly you're looking at it like it's a 2D platform or something. Some of that stuff's pretty cool, but sometimes they get so carried away with it. It's like, oh, look at what we're doing. You know, that you can't see what you need to see sometimes when it tries to do that fancy stuff.
So how come we don't have a term for Square Enix and Eidos and mesh them together?
Yeah, there is
Squidos.
Called Squidos.
Squidos, is that it? Because Squeenix was the other thing. Squidos? Oh, that's
Squidos.
That's actually
about doesn't really have Enix in there.
No. Squidos and Nix.
Squeenos.
Squidix.
Squeenos.
Squidix.
And someone would look at it and just be like, squid?
Oh, God. So I interrupted you. You're going to say something important, I bet.
Yeah, this...
not as important as squid.
This new Final Fantasy plays like a whole lot of squid. just like a canvas sack full of squid.
Is this all getting edited?
Yes.
So people are going to be like, squid bleep? What is the bleep? What could that be?
Squid. Is that what they're saying? Did they say d?
Flubbery.
Sounded like maybe they said d.
Okay, well, I think that's the entire reason that we talked about Nier, right?
to bring up squid.
I didn't know we were going to hit that when we started, but I'm glad we did, and I don't think there's any reason to go back to the game.
No, not at all.
So last little bit of new release thing, Super Street Fighter 4 came out. I didn't get to talk about it last week. I won't really talk about it this week. It's good, but I wanted to mention that on Wednesday we've got the Super Street Fighter 4 Community Game Night. Me, Lark, Ryan McDonald, maybe Ricardo will be playing. If you guys want to come mop the floor with us in Super Street Fighter 4, you can get details. Just go to GameSpot.com, click on forums, and then there's a game night tab underneath that after you click on forums, and that's got the details. So,
tight.
Wednesday night.
Super cool.
Let's move on to the news now. Because there was some big news this week.
Oh, hell yeah. I think I heard something about squid in the news.
No, you did not.
See, but that doesn't really help because squid always in the news.
Oh, jeez. Do you realize how much of this is getting cut this week? The show's going to be like 20 minutes long.
So the big news this week was that Bungie, the guys that went to Microsoft and were like, we want to be independent. We're sick of working on your Halo farm. So we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to go out and we are going to be independent, make our own thing. They signed a 10-year exclusive deal to have their games published and distributed by Activision.
You know, I actually heard why they did this. Money.
Oh,
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Shocker.
I know. I have inside sources. I'm friends or family. I can't remember which one we decided on.
we're all friends.
We actually had an intervention with them, and we're like, you can't join with Activision.
I talked to Mr. Bungie, and he told me his name is Jeff. His name is Jeff Bungie.
How'd you get in good with him? Did you have to like give him the secret white power handshake?
What?
Wow. Sounds like somebody doesn't know that Jeff Bungie is a high five kind of guy.
He's totally into the white power high fives.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
I forget what I was going to say. Oh, wait. So here's the reason why this doesn't like bother me all that much. Like I've been like a pretty big critic of Activision over the past few years, but here's the thing. All those IPs that they have like utterly driven into the ground. The Call of Duties, the Guitar Heroes, those are IPs that Activision owns.
Yep.
They're not going to own the game that Bungie develops.
Nope.
They'll publish the game.
Yep.
They'll make money from
it. They'll distribute it, and they'll make hell of muns off of it, as the kids say.
Lots of muns? Advertising.
A lot of muns. That's a thing that kids say nowadays. Come on, look it up on Urban Dictionary.
I am not looking muns up on Urban Dictionary because I don't know what's going to happen.
But Activision doesn't own this property. They're strictly the publisher. Bungie owns the IP. They get to decide when to make it and, you know, or what to make of it. And Activision doesn't get to farm out sequels to their internal developers. This doesn't worry me that much.
Okay, but here's a question.
Oh my god! Muns, something that is mostly something that is mostly amazing or awesome. I thought it was money. Wait, another name for money or cash? A phrase coined by RJ, aka Sean McGinnis. We call him RJ for a reason.
Call me RJ.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I looked it up.
Kevin, go ahead. I just had to be vindicated real quick.
Anything I say right now will be considerably boring compared to what just happened leading up to that.
You have to start with an oh my god.
Oh my god.
No, like an excited oh my god. Oh my god, Activision.
Oh my god. This sounds kind of like what Infinity Ward wanted to have.
Whee!
No, but seriously. Yeah, ooh. No, but seriously.
You're making scary noises now.
But I mean, the question is, like, isn't this kind of like what Infinity Ward wanted? They wanted to have, like, control over their own property. You know, here, okay. Activision publish our stuff. We just want control. So why is Bungie, like, special, but Infinity Ward somehow...
Because Infinity Ward is a wholly owned subsidiary of Activision.
Yeah. So Activision looks at that and it's like, why should we do that for you since we own you? And right now we have control over this. We are taking all the money from it. Why should we give you guys control of the IP?
Infinity Ward didn't have nearly the leverage that Bungie had.
Yeah, whereas they weren't going to make a dime from anything that Bungie did until they struck this deal.
It's like Bungie can orchestrate this kind of a deal because they have the ability to go to another publisher, you know? Infinity Ward, if they're like, you know what, Activision, we're not going to do this. Activision just says, you know what, tough? You're going to do it because we own you.
It just sucks. Pretty much. That's all I'm saying. I mean, that's really the whole point, is it sucks for the Infinity Ward guys to go through all this only to see, like, this other developer, like, seemingly get all this, you know, get exactly what they wanted to have.
Yeah, well, that's a thing, is it kind of makes you wonder about the timing of whether this was originally, like, an E3 announcement that just got bumped early for the nice bit of PR.
I mean, it seems quite probable. I mean, Activision needed any kind of good news that they could come up with because they weren't looking too good.
On the other hand, when we talk about this, we can't help but talk about it in light of the Infinity Ward thing. So it's kind of inextricably tied to it now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you say you feel bad for Infinity Ward, but you look at it and the founders have started up Respawn Entertainment and got what is... by all accounts, basically the same kind of deal with Electronic Arts, where Respawn's going to be independent. Electronic Arts is going to have rights to their games, but Respawn controls the IP. So it's something that we've seen before, and we'll basically see again. If a company owns a property, they are not terribly concerned about exploiting it and strip mining it. If they don't own a property and they're forced to play nice in order to get a stake in it, they will, but it's kind of a last resort.
Touche.
Is anyone positive on this?
Kotick?
Positive on the, like, Bungie Activision deal?
Yay, now we're going to get something new from Bungie.
I'm excited.
Oh yeah, that's awesome, but I thought that was kind of a given
that
anyway.
They're going to spend 10 years doing in the same universe?
Yeah, I don't know about the 10 years thing. That's a long time.
But is it...
Halo's only going to last 9 years.
I mean, do we really think that just because it's a 10-year deal that now they're going to be making all these games during these 10 years in some new universe, but the same universe? I mean, what's to say that they're not just like a bunch of different games that are all standalone IPs?
Because the deal's for one intellectual property. We interviewed them last week to get details, basically. And the deal with Activision's for one intellectual property over 10 years, and
they can,
in the deal, there are kind of milestones or benchmarks. There's like a general release schedule that they both agreed to before going forward with it. So it's possible if Bungie wanted to, they could make a game in a different IP sometime over that 10 years. But what they told us is that it's just so big and epic that all their resources need to be on just this one thing. And they're pretty sure that they're just going to be making out games in this one IP that Activision has the worldwide publishing and distribution rights to.
So they're just creating the next cash cow.
Yes.
That's what they're doing.
Yes, only this time they'll own it. So when people, you know, license out the movie rights or make the, you know, No More Tears children's shampoo based on it, they will get a cut of it.
I'm really disappointed that No More Tears Halo shampoo that I got goes mostly towards Microsoft and not Bungie. You know, I thought I was supporting my friends.
So we've got Bungie. We've got Infinity Ward. One other studio that's kind of tied up in this whole mess, innocent bystander, Treyarch. They've got a game coming out later this year, and we finally got some actual official details about it. It had been long rumored to be kind of a Cold War era Call of Duty game, and it is. It's called Call of Duty Black Ops, comes out November 9th, and they've just released a teaser website for the game and a trailer. It's going to have co-op mode. We don't know if it's going to be full campaign co-op or like Modern Warfare 2 stuff. Vietnamese, Cuban, and Arctic locations. And the teaser trailer seems kind of, I don't know, like it's following the Modern Warfare 2 path towards Hollywood stories, I guess, as opposed to more of a straight-faced, you know, dudes at warfare kind of thing.
You can make any game look like anything with creative editing in a trailer. And that's done by a marketing department at Activision. It's not done by the Treyarch guy. So I would not read too deeply into the trailer. I'm excited for this one. I think Treyarch gets a bad rap, and they're sort of like criminally disregarded in terms of like the talent level they have and the types of games that they've created. I really enjoyed Call of Duty 3. I really enjoyed World at War. In fact, I probably enjoyed the campaign in World at War more than I did Modern Warfare 2. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to see what they can do with that era, with the whole Cold War thing. And one thing that World at War had that Modern Warfare 2 didn't have was four-player co-op throughout the campaign. So I assume that they're probably going to bring that back for this one.
Let's hope so. The teaser that they showed looked like it's in the Modern Warfare engine, at least.
Oh, yeah. I mean, World at War used the Call of Duty 4 engine, so there's no reason to believe that they wouldn't be using that one.
Okay, two questions. Do you think, first of all, that the average person that's interested in buying a shooter cares which developer makes the game?
No. I don't think the average person that buys Call of Duty games at retail really cares about the developer.
The other part, do you think that it loses anything without... I mean, I guess it can't be called Modern Warfare if it's not Modern Warfare. But do you think that because it now has the old moniker rather than the newer moniker, that that's going to hurt it somehow?
No, because Modern Warfare had the Call of Duty thing up front also. It was originally supposed to drop Call of Duty entirely.
Right.
But, you know, it wound up being Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. So it's kind of... the brand is not changed.
Yeah. Call of Duty isn't exactly a forgotten brand at this point, even though they kind of danced around it a little bit with Modern Warfare 2.
And every holiday season, like clockwork, people want to shoot other people in the head, so...
why stop at the holidays? I like to do that during the springtime, during the dog days of summer, and fall, when the leaves are changing.
For that matter, why stick with the head? I like to shoot guys in the shoulder blade. I like to shoot them in the palm.
Tom likes to shoot them in the gooch.
Thank goodness the gaming industry is here, because it lets you do all of those things.
Thanks, video games, for all that and more.
So you guys think that they can actually deal with Vietnam in a way that is interesting and engaging to people?
Interesting and engaging, yes. Realistic, no. No, it's going to be insulting.
Tom is going to be playing through that game, and he's going to be thinking, that's not what it was like when I was in Vietnam.
I guarantee if I show this game to my dad, he will not be like, yeah, that brings back memories.
Was your dad in Nam?
Yes. That was the implication. Come on. No.
I thought your dad, like, I don't know, went to Vietnam for vacation in 94 or something.
But oh, that's a never mind.
It was awful. And then when his dad came back home, Tom was like baby killer.
Oh, God.
One more thing related to Call of Duty. Infinity Ward has still been leaking talent for the last few weeks. And a few more developers joined Respawn Entertainment this week. And then Janko Partners analyst Mike Hickey said he actually expects Activision to close the Infinity Ward studio rather than try to restaff it up. And then Modern Warfare 3 duties, he says, would be split between two other studios.
Would they hopefully relocate? You know, if they close the studio, would they hopefully relocate the poor guys that were still left in Infinity Ward to other studios, hopefully?
Do you think they'll give them the money they owe them, hopefully? Hopefully?
We can always wish.
Do you guys see this actually happening? I mean, no. We were just asking about whether or not the developer name
closing
had
Infinity
any kind
Ward?
Of clout.
I think they're going to close Infinity Ward. Why wouldn't they? It seems like they don't have most of their top talent. The only people who care about the name are people like in this room, and then we just badmouth and say, oh, this isn't even Infinity Ward anymore. It's like, yeah. What's the point of even...
Because it's still a it's well known to people in this room and other gamers, and then some of us would actually be able to convince ourselves that the name still means something. When the next game comes out with Infinity Ward's name on it.
Kind of like how I do with Rare.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I brought it up.
Yeah, it's great. After so many years of us just browbeating McShay on this crap, he's finally broken, and now he'll do the browbeating for us.
I'm just doing the joke.
Yeah,
I don't believe what I say.
Pretty soon he's going to be talking about his own mom.
She is an old classic.
That's quite an expression on your face when you said that.
What he means by that is that he just takes her out for a spin on Sundays, and that's
right.
It. Keeps her in the garage.
I keep her in the dark most of the time, and then I take her out for a spin so that the neighbors can see.
Usually she's right there where you store the squid.
They're called squeegees.
Sean, you were going to drop some insight on this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's interesting because it's like... It's kind of like the value of a brand for people like us versus the average consumer. For us, it's like, why would they ever close Infinity Ward? They're a known developer. They're instantly associated with top quality games. But that's for us. That's people who know developers. And then, like, the average consumer, all they care about is the Call of Duty brand. They don't really care about Infinity Ward. So it's kind of like that interesting budding of perspective. So I'm not going to pretend that I have any idea whether they're going to close it or not. But, I think we can all agree that analysts are dumb.
Oh.
I think analysts are generally pretty good at what they're supposed to do, but they step outside that box a lot when they talk to the gaming press, and they just wind up with, you know, speculation.
Like when says, I predict that I'm going to chug this whole beer. Glarble, glarble, glarble. And then he gets drunk and heckles people.
and forces Twisted Metal announcements.
Forces
like that
Twisted Metal announcement.
He's pretty good at that.
World of StarCraft on its way this year, I hear.
I don't think he made that prediction. I'm pretty sure that was a GameSpot April Fool's joke.
It's both, which is what makes it really great.
I wish that seeing drunk was an April Fool's joke.
Oh.
It was real. I can't get it out of my
head. Just an everyday joke. It is true, though. This is not slander if you can... You know,
can you?
It's not slander.
It's true that he got drunk and heckled. This is a true story.
You did like the blood alcohol test?
I did the back.
Tom did the back.
You did the content? Blood alcohol content?
Yeah.
He brought the sexy back.
I thought it was the beast with two backs.
The show really is going to be 20 minutes. Isn't it?
Unusable audio. Squid.
It's just like a Voltron panel of crap I can't use. And Sean will form the head. Tom, you get to be the Green Lion.
Oh, Tom is going to be the Gooch of Voltron.
And I'll form the Gooch.
Oh, that needs to be a Hallmark card. You complete me. You're the Gooch part.
kids?
Oh, I'm the Gooch.
It's like you had me at hello, you lost me at the Gooch.
Oh, God.
Page two.
Anyway, so I hear that Sci-Fi is making a Red Faction movie.
Wow.
What?
You must keep up to date with GameSpot.com/news, Sean McInnes.
No, I go straight to news.gamespot.com. I don't use slashes. That stuff is for babies.
Oh, and this is why we don't use you for commercials. Oh, man. That's okay.
So, Sci-Fi.
Yeah, the Sci-Fi Channel.
Sci-Fi Channel is known for, like, those great, great, high-quality sci-fi movies, like, about a giant squid versus a velociraptor kind of deal, right? Those
yes.
are, like, sci-fi original movies, right?
Yes. If it's got Bruce Campbell in it and it was made after 1992, it's probably Sci-Fi Channel.
Nice.
So they make cinematic chum. They make crap.
Ugh.
And they've announced that they are making a Red Faction movie.
In right. unrelated news.
But it's usually entertaining crap.
Oh, yeah.
It's entirely watchable crap.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was just a good premise. And then
no, those movies
you
are
watch
watchable.
It and it's like, oh, my God, Miss June Penthouse 1989 has not aged that well. So there you go.
Okay. 1989.
All the insight you need on the Red Faction movie coming out. The thing about this is like video game movies, like every freaking game under the sun's been optioned for film rights sold to someone. Hey, we're entering pre-production on this game and it's going to be great. And then none of them ever really get made except Hitman somehow finds its way into theaters.
Here's the thing.
What the hell's with that?
Here's why this is promising news to me.
Because it's Sci-Fi Channel.
It's Sci-Fi Channel. That's you hit the nail on the head, Brendan. There are video game movies are almost universally terrible.
Universally.
They are universally undeniably terrible. I think we can all agree on that. And if given the choice between watching a terrible movie on basic cable or paying $11 to see a terrible movie in theaters, I would rather watch a terrible movie for free on basic cable.
If it's the story of Chun-Li, I would disagree, but everything else, I agree with your premise.
Right, exactly.
But that was a theater movie.
And I want it to be made by a channel that is known for just, like, not even bothering with pretense for making crappy movies. They just go straight for the good stuff.
Sci-Fi Channel has the will to suck. Universal,
exactly.
Disney, Touchstone, whatever, other like legitimate movie makers, when they see that something is going to suck, they pull the plug.
Yeah, and they're
Sci-Fi knows that's going to happen somewhere along the way anyways.
Those movies are too muddled in things like, you know, budget and production value and things like that. I want to watch a video game movie on Sci-Fi.
Is a shitty movie better when it knows it's shitty?
Yes.
Yes.
I want to watch, you know, Red Faction Gorilla versus Giant Octopus.
I will say, except when it's absolutely oblivious.
I'm all over this,
by
the way.
Our users are going
to be
interested
in this. We need to
have,
like, a premiere party for the Red Faction movie. I'm excited. Yes. Like, if we're going to make it a point to see Prince of Persia, which looks dumb, we're definitely going to make it a point to see this.
Prince of Persia?
Well, of course.
We'll take an office pool, get some funds up, and then we'll rent out a theater at the Metreon for, like, a midnight screening.
Should be easy because nobody goes there.
Sci-Fi Red Faction.
I am all over that.
Yeah.
I'll make fluffer nutters.
I'll make my, what was it, the coconut daisy cookies?
I
can't remember what I
the olives.
Olives.
Coconut daisy cutters.
I'll make olive and coconut
daisy
squid. Oh, God. You're like, I don't really like olives. Everything else sounds fine there.
I'm okay with the squid part.
Last bit of news. Sims 3 coming for consoles, PS3, 360, Wii, DS. Kevin, is there any chance in hell that this game will preserve the elements of The Sims 3 on PC that you loved?
Eh, I mean, that's a ringing endorsement, isn't it? I mean, seriously, like, The Sims on consoles before was fine. It was just very different. It was much more focused. But Sims 3 is much more focused than Sims 1 or Sims 2. So this might actually be a case where the console version actually better approximates what the PC version represents than before. So we'll see.
It doesn't strike me like the kind of thing that's crying out for a console port.
Brendan, I want to quote one line from this. It also made perfect business sense as The Sims 3 has sold over 4.5 million units to date on PC and Mac.
Yeah, it's all about the mun.
Muns.
Muns. Oh, I'm so sorry. Is mun spelled with a dollar sign?
No.
I think it's M-O-N.
S.
M-O-N-S.
Maybe M-U-N. I can't remember
it's
what I typed in.
It's all about the muns.
So we're going to talk about this Wii Black bundle thing?
Oh, yeah, Wii Black bundle.
In passing,
okay,
because we are hitting the release date recap section of the news. So there's a new Wii hardware bundle coming out. It's going to include Wii Sports Resort and Wii Motion Plus. It'll be available May 9th in black or white, and it still costs $200.
Do they sell black controllers individually?
Yes, they have for a while.
Okay.
Can I trade in my barely used original white Wii from 2006?
No, you cannot.
Because I just got an Xbox 360 Elite, and the Wii is the one that stands out now. Because
it's white.
Because it's white, you know?
No, I understand.
Maybe if I was that, you know, that one unnamed guy who was really into white power in Halo, then I would be fine with having a white Wii.
Oof.
But I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh.
Next story.
Just the one guy in Halo?
That's... Ooh, man, you couldn't move. You couldn't move on.
Also, APB, the not-quite-massively multiplayer online cops and robbers game from Real Time Worlds, guys that did Crackdown 1, comes out June 29th in the U.S., July 2nd in Europe.
Is Dave Jones doing that?
Yes, he is.
I hope it's like Lemmings.
It's not going to be like Lemmings.
He made Lemmings.
You've entertained the possibility that APB would be like Lemmings?
Tom's I hope it has to... Mozart's Turkish March in it also, because that song's good in Lemmings.
Tom is just trying to impress people by stating that he is aware that Dave Jones...
Dave Jones made
Lemmings.
One of my, like... Yeah, I love Lemmings.
Wait, which Mozart?
Turkish March? Dun, 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 dun. I don't know, I'm not singing it. I'm not
are you talking about...
Okay. It's Lemmings.
Turkish Rondo.
Next topic.
That's not a march.
I don't know.
People
I got
don't march. Soldiers coming down the street.
Oh, music humor. 10 years ago this week, Power Stone 2 was reviewed. Import version of the Dreamcast fighting game from Capcom. Got an 8.0.
We just could not wait until that came out in America, could we?
Nope.
We needed the import of that crap.
I think 10 years ago, GameSpot was like half import reviews.
Weird.
It was all like PlayStation 2 launch stuff. Yeah, reviewing it months early.
But also the Japanese development community was a lot stronger than it is now.
Yeah, and importing was easy on the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah. Just put it in. And then you play it.
There was a mod chip or a Game Shark or a disc swapping trick.
What? It's Japanese? Don't worry, just put it in.
And then a little bit of perspective. A little bit of perspective on the things that we cared about 10 years ago and how much has changed. News story. New Tony Hawk 2 skaters revealed.
Ooh. We would not have a story about that for Shred? Is the new one called Shred?
Tony Hawk's Hred. It's an easy mistake to make. It's Tony Hawk's Hred.
And Tor Thorsen has just sent me a text message with some breaking news. StarCraft 2 launches July 27th.
Ah, that's not the first half of the year. They said the first half of the year.
Yeah, they did.
It took them 12 years to put this together and then another month.
So Blizzard Entertainment, liars.
Yeah, 2 days into the second half of the year.
I thought it said 27th.
Breaking I think news. It's July 27th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, better. Okay, that's all right.
It's almost 4 weeks. Well, okay.
What were they thinking? Wow, that's really fast.
Mark your calendar, Brendan.
I really thought that was going to be coming out next year. Wow, I'm really excited.
Also, 10 years ago this week, The Misadventures of Tronbon was reviewed on the original PlayStation.
Wait, Tronbon?
Tronbon.
Is that related to Tron?
You don't know Tronbon? It's the spinoff of the Mega Mans.
So, Mega Man Legends came out. It was like, ooh, 3D Mega Man.
Not good.
And he's not wearing a helmet. And then Tronbon was the 14-year-old nemesis in training of Mega Man in the Mega Man Legends game. And she is the employer of the Servbots, those little yellow Lego Men-like creatures in robots and Capcom's universes. And the Servbots are awesome, and The Misadventures of Tronbon was awesome for the way it used them. From the review, The Misadventures of Tronbon, spinoff of Mega Man Legends, which is itself spinoff of the Mega Man series, which in turn has nearly two dozen major and minor titles for various console systems. By all rights and expectations, one should think Tronbon to be a slap-together effort designed to milk a quick buck from incorrigible series fanatics. Instead, it's one of the season's most enjoyable and surprising hidden gems. What it lacks in visual splendor, it makes up for in fun. Gamers with eclectic tastes and open minds will find a title with endearing characters, solid gameplay, and pure charm. And Servbots. Lots of Servbots. And Servbots were awesome because of these happy little robot helpers that you would send to do awful, despicable things. Like when a SWAT team tries to stop you from robbing a bank, they come at you with shields, so your shots will just kind of bounce off. But you use your beacon bombs to send the Servbots at things that you want them to interact with. So you hit the cops with the beacon bombs, the Servbots go chasing after them, and then they just kind of all gather around and harass them a little bit, and then they come running back from the cops with their shields held over their heads, cheering, like, yay, we did it, we're helping!
Yay!
And then you can shoot the cops.
Oh, no. So this is sort of like Overlord,
except way more fun.
And 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, I can think beyond three dimensions.
Time being the fourth dimension, McShay. Yes. So, yeah, Tronbon. Awesome game. I don't know if it used analog sticks at all, so I don't know why it's not on PS1 Classics on the PlayStation Network, but definitely worth checking out. And that'll bring us to ESRB Rating Description Theater.
Yeah, best part of the show.
You really believe that? You like deep cleavage that much?
It's probably part of the show.
Probably better than news, right?
News is like all of the show.
News is when I take a nap.
News is...
But when we get to ESRB Descriptors Theater, that's when I wake up and I'm like, yeah, Brendan.
News is my whole job.
Nap.
So this week on ESRB Rating Description Theater, Penny Dreadful's Sweeney Todd Premium Edition. Dialogue and text sometimes reference violent acts. For example, a barber that will, quote, polish off anyone, and the phrase, a young sailor by the name of Mark has vanished and I smell murder. During one puzzle sequence, players can click on a pipe, triggering the phrase, seems like a large number of sailors take up this habit.
Hmm. What does murder smell like?
Blood. Departing souls.
Really? Sailors? Pipe? No? Nothing?
No, I was thinking about the murder.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Here's a Wii game. Calvin Tucker, Farm Animals Racing. It's a kart racer, and the ESRB says, players can also collect feces in pickup boxes to throw at other opponents.
Sounds like a more of a monkey racing game. Other animals don't do that.
And
does it look like a blue shell?
Oh, where it just like homes in and then explodes and gets everyone in its...
And on PC, the MMO Runes of Magic. Some missions require players to collect animal excrement and rub it over their bodies for strategic purposes. Example, quote, okay, let us daub excrement on ourselves.
Daub? Like it's perfume? Like it's you did poop?
Yeah, a little bit behind the one ear.
That's a great word. D-A-U-B. I love seeing that in print for some reason.
Daub.
For instance,
it's pronounced derb.
Lou daubs excrement on his neck.
Ugh. Oh.
Oh.
Image.
I assume he smells like poop.
Good poor assumption. Lou Dobbs. Sorry, Lou.
Oh, no. Now we're slandering Lou Dobbs.
Corrections, clarifications, retractions, acknowledgments, and apologies. Starting here with one last week from Magrino's time in the podcast host chair. The Carl and Ulrich wrote in, and BX Bailey ranted in the comments section about this, and Miguel from New York City called in. And we'll read Shane Del Real's. Del Real? Del Real?
Real.
Shane of the Real. He wrote in saying, when you were talking about MLB TV on PS3, I think you were slightly misleading about the pricing. The prices include not only the PS3 access, but you can also watch the games on your PC or iPhone with the purchase of that app. And this isn't Sony setting the price. This is kind of like Netflix. It's just an added service to the PS3. I actually have an account and it works really well on my iPhone. $100 for 8 months of baseball isn't that bad, really. Just thought I'd pass it along.
What did Tom Agrino say? They said that Sony is charging $100.
Yes, and they're like, that's horribly overpriced.
I explained to him that that wasn't the case.
Yeah,
how was that overpriced? Also,
Magrino doesn't always listen.
How much did I pay for the NFL package? It was like $400. I think it's $400 if you get HD, and that's only 256 total games. I think
that was ridiculous.
$100 for baseball when there's like a bajillion games.
Yeah, you get to watch every single game live during the season.
I think there's a bajillion games.
No, it's literally a hojillion.
Oh, it's a ho. Oh yeah,
it's a hojillion.
I forgot about the new teams.
So you're paying your $130 or so for the MLB TV access, which is usually through the computer. So right. You just watch it all streaming there. And all this is another way to take advantage of that subscription, just like Netflix is free on the PS3 and 360.
Do you use this on the PS3?
Yeah.
What is the image quality like on the TV?
Really good.
Is it like HD quality?
No, yeah, it's HD. It streams in HD.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
This seems well worth it if you like baseball.
I know. It's like I used to go and like try to stream it on my laptop and then connect the laptop to the TV and have to worry about like screensaver coming up every 20 minutes. Yep. But this is nice. It's painless and the interface is really nice on PS3.
So the problem with this, though, is that home games are blacked out.
Well, it's another MLB.
Home teams are blacked out because of broadcast rights restrictions.
But you can at least watch them on normal TV.
Which is,
if you have normal TV. And MLB TV seems to me like one of the reasons you would get MLB TV instead of getting the MLB Extra Innings package, which is already on your TV, is because you just have gone completely online. You watch your TV on Hulu.
No, it's actually most popular for people who live in a different market from their favorite team. It's like people like
but
me.
You could still do Extra Innings and get that.
What's that?
Like, why would you do MLB TV instead of Extra Innings, which
extra
is already
innings,
on your TV?
Extra Innings sucks a big old squid. That's why.
Why?
Oh, because it's like the selection of games isn't very good. You only get to watch the games live as they happen. MLB TV, if you miss the game, you can watch it later that night. You can watch any game throughout the season. It's like it's a fantastic service.
Because the one thing that you know, like, I love baseball as it is, but if you could somehow take away the urgency of it being live, man.
Not
because what that sport needs is less urgency.
Here's a scenario, Brendan. You're outside hanging around with your friends at night, and you don't get to watch the baseball
game. Your scenario
game that's
already rings false.
From 7 to 10 p.m. You come home, you watch the game, and you fast forward, you know, while the other team is batting or something. Hey. There you go. Some people aren't.
You fast
that.
Forward through
baseball
King
teams.
Felix's pitches. This is what you do now.
Well, if it's like one of the crappy pitchers.
Oh.
I'm just saying it's an awesome service. It blows extra innings out of the water, and the fact that it's now on PS3 is like, it's awesome.
There you go. A ringing endorsement.
More corrections. Zedine Ricardo stated that Juri in Street Fighter 3 is a kickboxer. She actually practices Taekwondo,
which is a form of kickboxing. But okay.
Apologies to Hamish from Australia and Hamish from Australia. One of them wrote in with a question last week, and one of them wrote in with a homework assignment, and I thought they were the same dude. They were not. I also mispronounced their names. So apologies to both Hamishes. Hamish I from Australia.
They're not Latin.
Are they related to Mavis Beacon in some way? I guess it's Mavis Hamish, I guess.
Mode Dude sent in the following message to the GameSpot Hotspot Twitter account. Please stop pronouncing niche like niche. It's pronounced niche.
This is your new thing.
Thank you for reading. But you know what? I went to dictionary.com and I was all like, give me that phonetic spelling love. And it's niche.
It's a French word.
That thing is pronounced niche. I don't know why people say niche.
It's a French word that's been adopted by the English language. You have two ways of pronouncing it. You can pronounce it how you originally pronounce it in French, or you can do the Americanized version. I don't think either one is wrong.
Yeah, but you
do
wouldn't
you think either is right?
No.
If you say niche, I have an image of in my head of you drinking from a tiny teacup with your pinky, like, almost broken because it's extended so far.
Yeah, but you wouldn't sit down to breakfast with a nice egg and bacon kitsch. That's quiche. Now, I know real men don't eat it.
No, I'd sit down with a quitch.
Do they?
Kevin's right.
David from Dallas writes in, and he requests a retraction from me for something I said a couple weeks ago about potheads not really being athletic. He points out Michael Phelps and so many NBA players. And I actually...
Did he list them by name?
No.
Did he list Josh Howard? Because we know that he gets high.
I think he did. He pointed out someone good. That just a few weeks ago got, or a few months ago got busted, I guess.
Josh Howard's not very smart.
Yeah, so I looked around online and I found a New York Times article from 1997 that said, contrary to the wholesome image marketed by the NBA, this must be a really old... I don't think of wholesome image when I think of the NBA.
Well, the NBA went through, I mean, it was the Iverson era, like, that people are like, oh, he's got cornrows, he's a bad dude. But that was, like, right around 97.
Huh.
But before that, it was more
like
wholesome.
The jail Blazers and all that?
Yeah, that was, like, 2000 with the jail Blazers.
Yeah. Still had Michael Jordan and his gambling.
Yeah, people didn't really realize that he was the reason. Like, they didn't really put two and two together for a while.
Wait, what?
Is that actually true, or is that just...
Tom McShay making shit up.
It's definitely within the realm of very strong possibility.
If you're upset by that statement, please don't sue me. I'm just sitting in the same room.
Contrary to the wholesome image marketed by the NBA, 60 to 70% of its 350-plus players smoke marijuana and drink excessively, according to conversations with more than two dozen players, former players, agents, and basketball executives.
And 60 to 70% of the players are in their 20s and making a lot of money.
I think a higher percentage than that.
So once those two things change, they'll probably drink less.
Those two things tend to lead to bad decisions.
Good point.
Yeah.
Apologies to Tom McShay here.
Hey.
From me. Last week in the comment section, Dark Spine Slayer was asking about whether or not you had actually hosted a previous show. And I said no, because the host has to edit the show. And I think McShay's fire and forget approach to talking would make going back and listening to it again to edit it problematic. And other people kind of jumped on that as if saying that you always contradict yourself. And people suggested a homework assignment built around just finding McShay contradictions.
That would be fun. I don't think I contradict myself, but if you guys can root around and find, like, I love Blizzard. I hate Blizzard. Like, that'd be fun. So,
I'm sorry if I... if I implied that.
No, you implied that I just don't care and I would have squid all the time without being edited. That's what I assumed. Oh, you gotta edit that, don't you?
So much work when I have you people in here.
What? You
what
people?
Kind of people is that?
Wow.
You know what I mean.
Racism.
White people.
Oh, nobody listening to this knows that I'm white. They could think that I'm like... Pan Asian.
Sean Fitzgerald O'Reilly McGinnis. So if you've got a correction, clarification, retraction, acknowledgement, or apology you want us to make, give us a call, 1-877-506-8324. Email us at hotspot@gamespot.com. Twitter accounts, GameSpot Hotspot. You can get in touch with us there. Let's do some phone calls. It's been a while.
It would be the most awkward video game character to watch do it. I vote Explosion Man. Just think about what would happen when the going got very good.
Okay, most awkward game character to watch do it. I think Explosion Man might have to take it for me.
Boom, there goes the dynamite.
I'm going to say Rex from Mass Effect.
Yeah. Oh, I got an idea. Dr. Boskanovich from Tekken 3.
Don't know who that is.
Yeah.
No, he's the guy who's always on his back, and he's fun to use in volleyball. What about, like, any of the Smiths from Killer 7?
Yeah,
true. It'd be tough. I mean, all of a sudden there's a lady or a dude in a wheelchair or a guy with a briefcase and a gun pointed at your head. It's You gotta improvise.
Gotta be adaptable there. Roll with the punches.
Yeah.
Birdo.
Oh.
Next call.
Hey, this is Adam for Toronto. From Toronto. Whatever. Basically, I just wanted to ask whether or not anything has ever happened in a game that's made you feel really uncomfortable, especially from a violence perspective. I was just watching some previews from Monster Hunter Tri, and I really didn't expect to, you know, care, or certainly not to be disturbed by the game, but I actually found, like, the violence against animals, or, like, the cruelty towards, especially the smaller animals, the way they kind of flop down and, like, really struggle in their traps and look fairly tortured, to be kind of disturbing, and I happen to know I won't be playing that game as a result. So I'd be curious to know whether or not violence has gone too far for you in the game, and especially if you've been surprised by how unsettling cruelty towards animals can be in games. Could just be me, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. Cheers.
So, Kevin, you just reviewed Monster Hunter Tri.
Yeah.
Did the depictions of violence against essentially defenseless animals...
Well, defenseless is kind of a stretch there. It's interesting, though, because there was a time where I was like, you're beating up on these cute little gazelles. You know, there are a couple times where, like, look at the kitty cats might steal stuff from you, but you can beat them up. You can't kill them, though.
Did you ever
just get up?
Have you ever played a game where you've kind of been disturbed by it?
Uh-huh. It's funny, too, because, like, I've reviewed a lot of violent games, like Condemned 2 and Manhunt 2 and stuff like that, but...
I don't think that's what we're talking about here.
I know.
If they're trying to disturb you, that's not applicable.
I was legitimately disturbed, though, by... and this is kind of cliche, but I was legitimately disturbed by No Russian in Modern Warfare 2.
I
really felt sick after I played that, and I had to stop when the level was done. I had to stop for the night and just go to bed. That really disturbed me.
Shadow of the Colossus?
No, I don't know. Like
there were no conscience pangs as you just slaughtered these things?
Maybe a
like,
little
oh,
bit.
That thing's majestic, and it's sleeping in a meadow.
But if it's huge, it's fair game.
Are you talking about, like, ever, or are you talking about Shadow of the Colossus?
Either.
Okay, no to the Shadow of the Colossus. We had a very different impression on the first Bioshock, because you saved the sisters and I didn't. I remember we were talking about this, and it was tough for either of us to understand what the other one was talking about. That was really pushing it for me.
I was actually disturbed might not be the right word, but playing God of War 3, it didn't take very long into that game for me to turn on Kratos, and for me to just kind of be like, oh, this guy's really the villain of this story, and he's slaughtering all these people and bringing awful, awful things to the masses. And I'm rooting for him to lose.
Okay, I got one more thing that I just remembered. Dante's Inferno. Now, I realize that these are killer babies, but the thing is, these are babies that have been sent to limbo. Like, they didn't do anything. They're just in limbo because they
should have gotten their asses baptized.
Yeah, but you're killing them.
Yeah, I called that out in my review. I thought that was actually really interesting they did that.
But why is limbo, like, first of all, like, I have issues with the whole concept anyway of limbo and things like that. But, like, why, when you go to, like, hell, why is limbo part of hell? And why are these babies suddenly, like, awful, like, scythe-armed babies?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. Like, I did have, like, weird pangs when I first started beating up the babies until I just kind of got past it.
Now I can beat up babies all day long. And
yeah. I mean, I'm soulless that way.
Okay, next caller.
Hey, Hotspot. I just had a really good question. I feel like the stereotype that kind of goes along with all video gamers, or gamers, whatever you want to call it, that we all drink Mountain Dew. And this is, I don't know, I don't know many people who don't drink Mountain Dew to play video games. Everybody I know who plays games has a pack of Mountain Dew, usually code red, in their house. I just wondered if that's common among you guys. You guys seem to be veterans in gaming. What do you
got
for yourself?
All right. Mountain Dew. I don't like to drink it. It's not a beverage of choice. Anyone in this room like it?
Mm-mm. Yeah. It's weird. No one likes it in this room.
Yeah.
Not even Whiteout, which is named after office equipment.
And yeah, looks foul.
And looks like Whiteout.
Next caller.
Hey, Hotspot. This is Eric calling from New York City. I got a small question here about non-AAA games. Right now I'm playing Metro 2033, which is a very good game, but, you know, not amazing by any stretch of the imagination. I was wondering how you guys would feel about a game like that being priced at, you know, $45 or $50 instead of the $60 that we would normally pay. It's a good game, not amazing. It's not AAA, but I think if it were a lower price point, it might have got more people interested in it. Love the show. Keep up the great work, guys. Bye bye.
So, non-AAA games at non-AAA prices. It's certainly been tried before. Earth Defense Force 2017 comes to mind.
Yeah, Deadly Premonition.
Well, those two you brought up, they look and feel budget. 3D Game Heroes is $40 and does not look or feel budget. Like, that's fine.
See, the thing is, I bought Earth Defense Force because I think I knew I would love that.
Because it's super great.
And I bought Deadly Premonition because it was $20.
Mm-hmm.
3D Game Heroes, I don't think I'm going to get it because $40 is, in my head, $40 for a game is the same thing as $60.
Oh.
It's a $10 swing from the $50 standard. And it's kind of like, well, that puts it well out of impulse buy.
Ah, well, it's only $35 on Amazon. But I mean, I
think $30 is like the absolute max that you can charge for a game and have me just go, what is it? Am I even vaguely interested in that? Yeah, sure, I'm buying it.
Why are you saying that $50 is the standard? That doesn't make any sense.
It was the standard.
True.
And then the 360 PS3 generation came out and they charged $60 and I didn't flinch.
It was only
I was like, okay, sure,
for,
I'm on there.
It was the standard for one generation with the PS2 Xbox. Before that, the N64 was more expensive. And you're talking about a 5-year stretch where it's $50 and that's still the standard for you?
The PS1, the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I don't know if it's standard, though.
Those were...
Well, the other systems were different prices.
Only your layman, 64.
Virtua Racing was like 100 bones when it came out.
Yeah, that was wild.
I know, and it wasn't even fun. But yeah, I agree, things should be cheaper. That would probably go a long way.
Do you think there's a really big market for people to just, this we're going to scale it down a bit and then charge $40?
Well, all you're seeing now is like $60 release, $40 after a couple weeks or a month. Or $30. Like, you see price cuts quickly. And
so is it tough for something like 3D Game Heroes to compete, even if it is launching at $40, because it's going up against 2 months ago's top-tier games?
It depends, because I don't think I'm alone. I'm usually attracted to new releases, and if a new release that you're interested in is, like, it's cheaper? I don't know. I mean, because if it is the type of thing, and it's weird to compare the two, but if it's like, oh, I really like Cowboys and I really like the original Zelda... Maybe you'll actually get 3D Game Heroes and wait for Red Dead Redemption to drop in price. Like that okay. Seems completely reasonable.
Let's move on to email now. Last week, Tom Agrino hosted and asked people from Yemen and Oman to write in.
This is what happens when Agrino hosts.
Yemeni listener Ali Al-Harhi wrote in specifically to request that Magrino not host anymore.
Oh, that's great.
He said, I've been listening to the show for 2 years now, and it gave me a clue about so many great games I've never heard of, like Klonoa, Killer 7, and Psychonauts. And I guess that doesn't happen when Magrino hosts.
No, he's a good guy. Good human being. He has bad taste in games.
he likes the MMOs, doesn't he? He plays a lot of games.
He likes EverQuest.
He's recovering. He's really looking forward to APB. But I don't think he's had an active MMO for quite a while.
No.
Thank you, Ali. You have you've made our day a little bit brighter by griefing our coworker.
Well, don't tell him that, though. He'll be sad.
Magrino?
Yeah.
That makes our day a little brighter.
When he's sad? Wow.
Hayden writes in, what happened to games like Wing Commander and Freelancer? I loved those space combat sim games, or whatever you want to call them, and it seems like the genre doesn't even exist anymore. Why do you think that is, and is there any hope of bringing it back?
People don't like complicated things like flight sticks.
Yeah, maybe it coincides with the declining PC market and the rise towards console accessibility.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it. Although Freelancer was incredibly accessible with just a mouse and keyboard, so... I mean, I don't know. There are still games out there like that, but if you like that, you know, go to like X3 Reunion and all this, you know, the add-ons that have come out for X3. Since that'll That'll get you through.
I know they were always more popular on the PC, but there were some good ones on consoles, like Colony Wars, for instance. I think it's actually kind of a case of diminishing returns for the genre with the hardware that we use now. Because on the PS1 kind of era hardware, you could do one of those games and you could have it look really good. Jump to the PS2 and like, okay, ship models are going to get a little better, but, you know, they're still just kind of floating there in empty space and there's not a whole lot else that needs to be done. PS2 to PS3, it's kind of like, are you really going to notice a big leap? And if you're not noticing a big leap in that, have we kind of already maxed out what the genre is going to be able to do?
Well, I mean, it goes beyond just the way it looks, but it is true that, like, traditionally space games age really well because space always just looks good.
Plus, they're already set in the future, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like a game that's it's set in the past and it came out in the 80s, and so it's even farther in the past now. When a game is already set in the future and it gets old, it's still the future.
True. It is time-proof.
Time-proof. Think about it, Kevin.
I'm thinking hard.
Wrap your brain
hard.
Pan around that one.
I noticed that Dark Star 1, a game I really liked on PC, is coming to consoles.
Why did you raise your monitor so I can't see your face, Sean?
I don't want to look at you.
way to take the edge off of Dark Star 1. Way to go, guys. Jeez. Trying to give an unknown game some attention?
Oh, yeah, Dark Star 1.
Oh, Jesus.
Thanks for playing along, McShay.
Angling my monitor so that Tom can't see me.
He's putting it into vertical mode for all his shmups.
Pew, 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 pew. Shmup, shmup, shmup.
Mason from Texas writes in, as a gamer who started gaming with the Saturn, I'm constantly being reminded of all the great, awesome, better-than-current games on the Super Nintendo that came out during a time where I honestly wouldn't have even known how to hold a controller. Should I go out of my way to find certain titles from the SNES period in order to play them? If so, are they rather hard to come by nowadays, and is stooping to emulators an acceptable way to go about getting this gaming history?
Well, we can't condone the last one, obviously.
Unless you're talking about the Wii Virtual Console emulator.
Yes. The problem is the controller, though, with the Wii Virtual Console.
Classic controller.
It's a close approximation.
Yeah, even depending on the game, the GameCube controller that you can plug in there works just as fine.
I
know.
I would recommend going back. I think that Super Nintendo and PS2 are the two best systems. They have the best libraries, so... I mean, Link to the Past, Super Mario Kart. Super Mario World is the best game ever. It's worth going back.
Yeah, I think it depends on the game. There's a lot of lessons about accessibility that have been good lessons that the industry has taken to heart since the days of the Super Nintendo. But I still think Super Mario World, no matter who you are, is something that is really like a must.
Yeah,
must play.
You need to play that.
Best game of all time.
It's got some good RPGs in the system, too. Mm-hmm. Chrono Trigger. It's a good system.
Final Fantasy 3.
Then you should get a buddy to play some Lemmings 2 player. I hear that's great.
Yeah. Rampart multiplayer is actually great on the SNES.
I never played the SNES. I only played the original NES version, but Rampart is so good.
The SNES one was great because it was all like Mode 7. Really is nice.
Yeah.
That's it for emails.
Did we just mention 10 Super Nintendo games and one of them was Rampart? It's like a crazy because the system
Super
is just,
Rampart's really good.
It's just because the system is just like flooded with like all time greatest games. Well, it's just funny that was mentioned. Kevin, you should mention
because if you play Rampart on like the NES, it's kind of trash.
Whoa, it's great. It's like bombing combined with Tetris.
If you play Rampart on the PS3, it's not that great. You play it on the Super Nintendo. Thing is gold. So if you got a question for us, give us a call 1-877-506-8324. Email us at hotspot@gamespot.com, or you can get in touch with us at Twitter. Our username is GameSpot Hotspot. So we do direct messages and all that kind of fun stuff with Twitter.
If you're wondering, Rampart not on the Virtual Console. No version of it.
That is...
So contact your local Nintendo representative and get them on this. My local one is Iwata. Is he the only one?
With all the crud that they throw out on there,
there's
to just leave Rampart off.
According to Wikipedia, I just went to the page, so it might be wrong. 355 games. They should throw Rampart on there. Not even the NES for 55 Super Nintendo games.
Disappointing. Last week's homework that... Magrino doled out for us. Basically, come up with a Project Natal game.
Is he just... What the heck? Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Are any of them good? I hope they're good.
Well, we've got a disqualification here. From
Was one of them Milo?
No.
Sent over from p.molyneux at gmail.com?
No, because, see, normal people, when you say, hey, here's this Natal thing, what kind of game would you make with it? They don't make Milo.
What's wrong with Milo? It's a little boy simulator. Constant love and affection.
Something that shouldn't be simulated.
Oh, David J. Shockey writes in and is disqualified for his idea of Neverland Cook. In the vein of Cooking Mama, players fry, whisk, chop, and plate imaginary dishes, which they then have the pleasure of eating. Remember, if you don't believe the food is there, then you won't be able to enjoy it. Concept from the movie Hook, scene where Robin Williams looks at all the kids eating a bunch of invisible food.
Why was it disqualified?
Because it was inspired by the movie Hook.
No. What's wrong with Hook? What's wrong with Hook?
Bangarang!
It had Rufio in it.
Rufio! Rufio!
Who hates on Hook?
And it had the little kid that was in Dick Tracy.
He was,
How many more reasons do we need to disqualify this?
Rufio was great. He was the ethnically ambiguous leader of the Lost Children.
Oh.
He was somebody that everybody could look up to.
He was awful. He was also in the live-action Fist of the North Star movie, proving that, like, everything associated with this in any kind of way, except Dustin Hoffman, never did anything worth
a
damn.
Wait, who was the woman
since.
In there that was, like, she was a good actress, wasn't she?
Was she? I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh, God.
Man, I gotta look up another thing. Either way, that shouldn't be disqualified. It's in the running to win. Next entry.
Who's the winner?
Metalladoom.
I want to hear the winner.
This is not the winner.
Oh.
Metalladoom 33 had just a neat idea. NHL 11, between the pipes, make goaltending matter by moving your body left to right to face the puck and make the big saves that the AI goalies never made. Scan images into the mask editor to create your own custom goalie mask designs.
That's actually a fantastic idea.
That would be pretty cool.
Why did that not win? You better wow me with the winner, Brendan.
We like laughs.
So the winner's going to be vulgar.
But that last one was like really
Hold
practical.
On, yes, McShay is right.
That last one gave like EA a really good idea.
Yep.
All right, let's hear the winner. Straight to the winner.
We'll get to it.
God damn it.
Will, username Farty Boy. His Natal game idea is a disaster sim in which the player goes from natural disaster to natural disaster, saving the local populace from the ruins of their city. Different locations include Haiti, New Orleans, Pompeii, and finally France.
You got what?
The player simulates France. Picking up debris, which will be loaded onto a truck and at the game's climax be thrown into France.
Oh my God. So the whole point of it was just to make fun of France, because that game sounds awful.
You
pretty much.
No offense.
I don't know what France
offense.
Did to Farty Boy. Farty Boy does not like France.
First, he must have hated that quiche discussion earlier.
Yeah, you disregard their pronunciation and now you'd like associate them with disaster zones? Wow, Brendan.
For like landfills of disaster zones.
Brendan is working some rough chuckles today.
William Weatherly.
Is this the winner?
No.
What?
He suggests Heavy Rain 2. In a case of terrible copyright infringement from Peter Molyneux, players take part in a variety of fun mini-games. Whether it's drinking orange juice or just staring longingly out the window, you're bound to like something. There's also a party mode where you and your peers can take turns trying to weep the hardest. It retains the boring parts of the first game without the innovative and powerful story and mechanics around it. Zestalime possibly should have been disqualified on matters of taste. He suggests Custer's Revenge on Game Room with Natal support.
Ooh.
Next.
Next caller.
And the winner, Sega Champ, Travis Touchdown Power Surge, where you constantly mimic the Power Saber recharge motion until you just can't go any longer. Players with the longest recharge session make it to the top of the leaderboards.
Man, seriously?
You are infantile, Brendan.
That's their winner?
That's
the
their
hockey
winner.
The hockey one would actually be fun.
The
you
really
like
cool
that?
Hockey one didn't win?
should we really reward and encourage people with ideas?
With like great ideas.
Or are we looking for bathroom humor?
We can do an actual idea because this week's assignment is all about making us laugh.
It's all about the yuck yuck.
The guy, okay, okay.
The guy who came up
fair
with,
enough.
With the NHL
Sega
idea.
Champ and Metalladoom 33 will be co-winners.
All right.
Both getting homework assignment emblems.
We will design a new emblem that is only half an emblem, and we will give it to them.
So just wait a little while. Yeah. Sean and I aren't very good at doing stuff when we say we are.
Yeah, how's that big long pun recitation coming along?
I never said I was. I think I immediately quit with that one. Oh, the recitation of the pun. Oh, I was thinking the palindrome. I told you I can do that whenever.
Yeah.
I could do it. I assume we're going to save it for next year's end of the year podcast. I couldn't do it last year. I was in the office. You can't shake your head. I have a very good excuse.
What was it? Food poisoning or something like that?
Yes, yeah, something like that.
New homework. Stand-up comedy. This is a homework assignment suggested by Sean McInnes and Tom McShay.
It's because we were doing this last night while we were playing The Reach.
We were playing the Halo Reach.
When I say last night, I mean 2 nights ago.
2 nights ago on Sunday night, not last night, which is actually last night, but in a different dimension. We were playing Halo Reach with, was that before Nick Suttner joined us?
Yeah, before. And then after we perfected the joke.
We perfected the joke and we
his
told
aiming
it
was all shaky because he was laughing too hard.
His character was like in a corner because he couldn't move. Crippled with laughter.
Yes.
So these are effective battle techniques in Halo Reach.
Yeah.
At least in the beta. Yeah. They might nerf them for the real one.
Right.
So give us an idea, an example here.
Okay. So what's the deal with the long skinny piece in Tetris? It never comes when you want it to come. You get your S, you get your Z, but where's the long skinny one?
What's the deal with the long skinny piece?
Yeah. Okay, so we got to give our listeners some time to recover now
it's
after
funny,
that one.
Because most of the time you get a stupid L or that little plus thing or the zigzag.
Or the block?
Or the block.
Where are you going to put the block?
You literally can never put the block anywhere. But the long skinny piece, it's the most useful because you get the Tetris. You get the four lines and it goes poof, a million points. But you never get that piece and that's why it's funny. What's the deal with the long skinny piece?
Okay, so...
That is such a good joke.
Hacky stand-up comedy is the homework assignment topic.
Yeah. I just pictured doing that in front of a room full of people who are not gamers. And just like the dead silence that follows.
No, everybody
or
loves...
just Kevin's laughing hysterically and everyone else is just...
I find this joke really, really funny for some reason.
I came up with half of that, so that's my contribution.
Okay. Fair enough. You will both be getting the homework assignment emblem, by the way, for suggesting a homework assignment that we use.
Oh, really? Yep. Wait, he didn't suggest it, though.
I'm
fighting John to get one of my myself.
Look on his no, face. He co-developed it.
He co-developed the idea, but I was the one who suggested it.
Are you worried that that
no,
the emblem will be watered down?
It devalues the emblem.
No, we're not getting the half homework emblem. We're getting the full one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm not getting the imaginary one. I'm never going to do.
Yeah.
Kevin, do you have an example?
I don't have anything. I can't possibly live up to that standard.
I've got a few that might live down to it. So you can think while we do these. What is the deal with the Wii? Did they not realize that it sounds like genitalia? Hey, everybody, come over to my place and play with my Wii.
That's Magrino's suggestion.
What's the deal with Mario? He eats a mushroom and grows to twice his normal size and can break brick walls with his head? I think this game gets kids on drugs.
What?
Mushrooms.
What's the deal with Mario? He wears overalls. He wears a bee suit. He wears a frog suit. It's like, pick a suit and go with it.
So bad.
Didn't you have one about military shooters, McShay?
I don't think so. Did I?
What's the deal with regenerating health in military shooters? It cheapens the sacrifices real people make in defense of their countries. Still got more. What's the deal with the ghosts in Pac-Man? Isn't the whole point of being ghosts that they can go through walls and other tangible obstacles? And what's the deal with Pac-Man? He seems like a serial killer the cops should be after. Sarge, you're not going to believe this corpse. He ate everything except the eyes.
Oh, God. Why are these all Seinfeld jokes?
No variety in them.
We should mention that you can come up with hacky jokes that aren't following the Seinfeld template.
It's easier to do a Seinfeld impression than a Bobcat Goldthwait impression.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Or you could do a Sam Kinison impression.
Stephen Wright?
Yeah.
We accept badly derivative homages.
But if you're doing an homage, you have to say who it is so Brendan can do the impersonation. So
or call in and do it your damn self.
You can do that one too, but I want to hear Brendan do all these impersonations.
I want to hear some Andrew Dice Clay impersonations.
Oh, God. I
tried to think of one about Princess Peach real quick, but it wasn't happening. So if you got a homework assignment for us, give us a call, 1-877-506-8324. Email us at hotspot@gamespot.com. Send it to Twitter. Our hotspot username is GameSpotHotspot. And that'll do it for another fine, fun week of editing headaches. Thank you, Tom McShay.
It was a solid 20 minutes.
Thank you, Sean McInnes.
It was a solid...
You have to edit your closing comment.
Thank you, Kevin Van Orn.
Say the thing. Say the thing.
I was going to say squid, but it just didn't seem like the time.
Yeah. This is the last chance.
That was your last chance, and you said it, and I'm proud of you.
That will do it for this week's show. We will see you again next week on GameSpot Presents The Hotspot.